1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Now, I pray we have worshiped God. Now, let's hear from God. Don't you want to hear from God? Amen. You know, the best way to hear from God is to open the Word. This is indeed the Word of God. So, as we read this morning, I challenge you, I encourage you. This isn't a book. This isn't something the preacher has to say. This is the Word of God that He has sent to you. And if you hear from God, it's likely going to be from here this morning. All right? Let's stand and let's read from the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain will... That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, it is truly a comfort to know that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, every believer may have that assurance of where he's going. That this life is truly not all there is, but there is a place prepared in heaven for us. Lord, we pray today for the coming of Jesus Christ. We look forward to that day when heaven will be filled with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and we'll be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. Even so, come soon, Lord, come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ignorance. In today's world, that's kind of a word that would be used as an insult. But when Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, he's not insulting. That word literally means not to know. Not to know. You know, there are a lot of people in the world today that just do not know. And because of what they do not know, they do not have a hope or an expectation or looking forward to better things. Well, today I want to go through what Paul was giving people to give them hope or a looking forward. And understand, when I say hope, I'm not talking about the way we use it today. All right? I'm talking about expectation. I'm talking about something that we know is coming. Because we know Jesus is coming back, we can live today with joy, comfort, and assurance. But today I want to start, but just for a moment, by talking to those who do not know where you're going. Those who are lost, the condemnation of the lost, if you will. First of all, I want to challenge you to understand where we are in the day that we live. The signs of the time. I want you to understand that we are living, in fact, in the last days. Okay? We are on the edge of eternity. And We know that because of what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to just go over that with you just so you'll know this isn't just the rant and rave of a preacher, you know, and you've heard Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. We know by the signs of the times that we're living in. And these are the signs. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. Paul wrote, "But know this, that in the last days perilous or troubling times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such turn away." My friend, if this isn't an accurate description of where we are as a society and a culture, I don't know what is. We look back and just taking a few of these, lovers of self. Have you ever known a more selfish, self-centered time in the United States of America? It's not about how can I serve my country or how can I serve others. It's how can my country and how can others serve me. It is a time of greed and a time of lovers of money. Actually, literally, that means a desire to be rich. You know, people, I mean, let's face it. The motivation in America today is money, right? It's all about the dollar. And so we live just hoping for that next promotion, that next big stock pick, that next big thing where one day we can have it, the easy life, the good life. Well, I want to tell you, money doesn't make life good, okay? God makes life good, right? But we go down this list and unthankful. Have you not heard people say, "Well, I didn't ask them to do that for me." Yeah. As a matter of fact, we've replaced thankful with entitlement and attitude. You know, United States of America, there are people in this country today who think it is their God-given right to be rich, to be wealthy, to have a big house, to drive a fine car. That's not your right. The government does not owe you a living. Okay? That's why we're raising young people who, when the police come and they say stop, they don't. We're living in a world that is filled with godlessness, lovers of pleasure. Timothy or Paul included in that. Have you ever seen a time when men love pleasure more? All about me. Right? If you don't think men are lovers of pleasure, you want to know why this church is not filled this morning? Because men found something they'd rather do than worship God. Okay? I'm not talking about vacation. I'm not talking about taking Sunday. I'm talking about those who just push God completely out because they don't have time for that sort of thing. It's an indication of where we are. So I want you to know, Paul knew what he was talking about when he said, we're living in the last days. And here's the problem. The problem is, people are blinded. We don't, you know, as a society, the world does not see these signs that are everywhere. Instead, we're like the days of Noah that are described in Matthew chapter 24. Here's the way Jesus described what it was going to be like in the last days. He said, "But as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark." And here's the part. "Did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be." We look at society and we look at the school shootings and the unrest and everything going on, the general attitude and godlessness of man. And it does not open our eyes. Instead, we continue living life, marrying, working, giving in marriage. Beloved, I want you to know we're on the edge of judgment and eternity today. And most people do not have a clue. And it will be as the day when the flood came and took them away. The last thing on most people's mind today is eternity. Even here in this congregation, the last thing on most people's mind is stepping off into eternity. But here's the reality. My friends, one of two things are going to happen. Either Jesus is going to come back or you're going to die. Okay? That's the long and short of it. Either Jesus is going to come back or you're going to die. And you're going, when one of those two things happen, you're going to face eternity. What's going to happen to you? See, here's the ignorance part. And I say that respectfully. I'm not, here's the part people do not know. Paul was writing so that Christians wouldn't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. That word hope means something to look forward to. You know, as a Christian, we have something to look forward to, but there are those who do not. That's why death is such a devastating subject to those who are lost, because it's the great unknown to them. They don't know what's going to happen. Beloved, I want you to know what's going to happen today. Without Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in hell separated from God. And you're going to face that one of these days. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be next month, next year. But beloved, you know this. One of these days, you're going to die. Okay? And if you're lost today without Jesus Christ, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to belittle you. I want you to know the truth. And the truth is, there is a heaven that Jesus has prepared for all those who've placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And you do not have to face death without a clue. Oh, my friends, don't be condemned. Don't be blinded. Wake up and understand reality. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. And I said this part's for those with no hope. Because if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. You know, everybody wants to believe they're going to heaven. Have you ever noticed that? Everybody wants to believe they're going to heaven, but frankly, they're not. The Bible says there's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Okay? Not anyone. Church will not get you to heaven. Preachers will not get you to heaven. The best life you can ever live will not get you to heaven. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going. Please, please consider the fact that one day you're going to die. And after this, the judgment. That's the condemnation. Here's the comfort. Here's where it starts getting good. You see, the saints at Thessalonica had a concern. And that's why Paul writes this. And their concern was, they knew one of two things were going to happen. Number one, they were either going to die. Or number two, they were going to see Jesus come back. One of those two things were going to happen. But their question came with those who had died before Jesus came back. Do you know what happens to those people? That was the question of Thessalonica. What's going on? You know, if these believers do not make it, do not live to see the second coming of Jesus Christ, do they just miss it or what? Paul says, oh no. He says, let me tell you what's going to happen. Now listen, if you're a child of God, you cannot read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 without putting a smile on your face. Okay? This is our comfort. This is our assurance. And so, Paul's answering their question. And he says, I don't want you to sorrow as those who have no hope. Those who don't have anything to look forward to. Here's what's going to happen to those who have died before Jesus Christ comes. Verse 14. Even so, God will bring them with Him. think about that. For if we believe, and here's the qualifier, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Okay? God's going to bring them with Him when Jesus Christ comes to gather His children home. Those who have died, and I want you to understand, are you listening? Okay? Those who have died are not lying in dormant in some grave somewhere. They're not lying and they're not spending this time in some halfway house called purgatory. Okay? They're not experiencing something called soul sleep. Instead, those who have died before Jesus comes are in the presence of Jesus right now. How do you know, Brother Doug? Well, if they're not with Jesus, He can't bring them back with Him when He comes, right? It's just kind of logical. But Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8, he said, So we are always confident knowing that while we're at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. While I'm walking this earth and living in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. Yes, He lives inside me, but I'm not with Him where He is. At verse 7, so we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, yes, rather well pleased to be absent from the body. And to what? Let's read this last line together. And to be present with the Lord. Let's do it one more time. And to be present with the Lord. You know what that means? That means when you close your eyes on this earth for the last time, you will immediately open them in the presence of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all this life that you spent living by faith, well, you'll no longer live by faith. You'll live by sight because you'll see Him. Isn't that cool? That's Paul saying, listen. You don't have to worry about it. God's got this. When you close your eyes on this earth, you'll open them in heaven. For those who die in Jesus Christ, their soul is immediately transported into the presence of Jesus. Brother Doug, how do you know? How do you know? Well, I love to read about old Stephen. Stephen was a preaching deacon. And boy, he was preaching one day, and he was such a preacher that he made the folks mad because he was preaching Jesus, you know. And they became so angry at Stephen, they stoned him. And Stephen, when he was being stoned and being pelted by these stones, just before he closed his eyes in death, you know what Stephen said? This is Stephen, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Do you think Stephen really saw the heavens opened and Jesus standing at the right hand of God? You bet he did. He saw it. Let me ask you, have you ever watch people, believers, as they leave this life? Have you ever watched what happens? Oh, I've heard story after story. I've watched believers, you know, that take their final breath and this big smile comes on their face. I've watched believers as they're leaving this world point and smile as if they see something. I've had believers the night before they passed away tell me they saw their dead husband or their dead father or their loved ones. You say, Brother Doug, do you really believe all that? Why not? Happened to Stephen, didn't it? Happened to Stephen. If it happened to him, sure it can happen to us. But we're talking about those who know where they're going. Those who have the assurance of salvation. I said, I don't pretend to understand it all. I really don't. Most of it's above my pay grade now at the present time. But I want to tell you, I believe Jesus. And I believe that He's prepared a place for those who place their faith and their trust in Him. And one of these days, There's going to be a reunion like you have never experienced before. You have loved ones in heaven. You're going to meet them. You know, if you're a believer, you're going to meet them when Jesus comes. He's bringing them with him. Now, it'd be great to see Jesus. He's the one we want to see most of all. But isn't it exciting to think about parents and children and loved ones and friends that have gone on before? You know what's even better? I'm going to meet Paul. And you are too, if you're a child of God. You're going to meet Peter and James and John and all the apostles. Why? Because they're coming too. What a glorious hope. What a glorious expectation. You see, that's why this is such a happy message. If you're a child of God, glory to God. We don't have to worry about death because Jesus conquered death when he rose from the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And one of these days, beloved, one of these days, if you live till Jesus comes back and you hear the shout, the trumpet, glory to God. But if you don't live till Jesus comes back, you'll still experience the glory to God part. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Let's go ahead and go on. And let's talk about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ for just a few moments. That day we sang about in worship this morning. I tell you, worship was awesome this morning. It's when, you know, and I get to thinking about that sometimes. And once again, I don't understand it all, but I know it's going to happen. Okay? And it's going to start with a command. I love verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. You know how this is going to go down? This is it. You're going to hear a shout. You're going to hear a trumpet if you're a child of God. And when we say shout and trumpet, understand it's not just a mindless, shout. The word shout, it's an audible voice. It is a shout of command. All right? It is something that would be used like in an army, you know, as the commander would shout, attack, go, or, you know, whatever to his troops. Same thing with a trumpet. You know what a trumpet? It wasn't just a blast, but the sound of the trumpet was an instruction on what to do. They'd sound the trumpet a certain way and all of Israel would gather. They would sound it another way and they would disperse. They'd sound it another way and everybody would travel. You know, they'd sound it again and everybody would stop. But it made a specific sound. So it's not, when this happens, beloved, I want you to understand it's not going to be just a mindless. You want to know what you're going to hear in this trumpet? And the shout, you want to know what you're going to hear? Oh, come on. Do you want to know what you're going to hear? Revelation 4:1. After these things, John speaking, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet. Sound familiar? Speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things must take place hereafter. It's not going to say, come up here. It's not going to say, will you please come? It's going to be the voice of a shout, of a trumpet that says, come up here. The day has arrived. The time is here. Come up here. And what happened to John next? It says, immediately he was in the Spirit. And he went through that door. Same thing going to happen to you if you're a child of God. Jesus is going to step out on that cloud. You're going to hear the voice and the trumpet. And the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Which brings us to the change. The graves will give up their dead body. Of the saints. Okay. Of those. He said, Brother Doug, I thought they were with the Lord. They are, but they left the shell behind. Okay. They left the shell behind. And the grave is going to give up their dead bodies. And then we who are alive, if you live until that time, you're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You say, Brother Doug, you mean I get my body back? Well, yeah, kind of. Okay? You're going to be transformed. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Paul says, Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. And here's how it's going to go down. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, sometimes this just brings me to the point where you just almost don't know what to say. If you're a believer, and you're alive, you know, and I always thought, I wonder if I'm going to see those graves open. You ever thought? You ever wonder about that? Because wouldn't it be cool to watch as those graves explode? Bodies come out? Yes, it would. Are we going to see it? I don't know. Because it's going to happen so fast that I'm not sure we're going to have time to see those graves bursting open before we're changed and go to meet Jesus. John says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, how fast can you blink? That's how fast it's going to happen. Can you imagine? You're at work one day, and you blink, and you're not there anymore. Can you imagine? You're driving down the interstate, and you blink, and you're not in that car anymore. Praise God, I'm glad I'm going, aren't you? Because there will be a lot of airplanes and a lot of cars that are unmanned for a couple of minutes there after we leave. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you see the joy of the child of God. This life is not all there is. And I want you to understand today, it does not matter what you're going through. You may face life's biggest challenge. You may have been diagnosed with cancer. You may have family problems. You may be facing issues that it just seems like this life is hopeless to you. Understand, if you are a child of God, this life may be hopeless, but the next one is sealed, signed, and delivered. It's not hopeless. You're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Changed into what? Once again, it's above my pay grade. I don't know. 1 John 3:2, I love this verse because it says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We'll see Jesus, and we'll be like Jesus. As I said, I don't know what that's going to be like. I know that after Jesus was rose from the grave, I know that doors and walls didn't bother Him anymore. His apostles were gathered in the upper room, and one minute it was just the apostles, the next minute they were in the presence of Jesus. Why? Because He just appeared. Won't that be cool? Won't be any more 2-hour car rides to get somewhere. No 10-hour plane rides. I don't know how all that's going to work, but I know this. I don't want to miss it. And I'm not going to miss it. Because, not of something that I did, but because of what Jesus did some 2,000 years ago on a cross called Calvary. Okay? He died for my sin. That's what, when you hear Jesus crucified, that's what that's all about. You see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here today, you may be in that first part of the people that have no hope. And, you know, if this life is over, that's all there is. And, boy, what a scary thought. But I can tell you how to join the rest of the folks, of those who have better things to look forward to. And that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you made Him the Lord of your life? Now, this is the time, because you, as I said, you don't know how much longer you have. Brother Doug, I'm a young guy. I've preached young guys' funerals several times. Okay? Take care of it today. Because it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. If you're not saved, the Bible says, if we'll confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. Romans 10:9. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? If not, you have nothing to look forward to. I want to tell you, there are some nice times in this life, but if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. There's got to be something more. There is something more. Are you a child of God? If you are a child of God, I want to take just a moment. And I want us to have a special time of prayer for those who do not know the joy that you know. Because you know how it's going to end. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to pray for the lost right now. And I want you to name them by name. There are lost people in this service today. Let's pray together that God will convict them of their sin. And they'd open their heart to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That Christ died for you so you wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell. Our Father in heaven, oh, we thank you for the comfort that Paul brings out in 1 Thessalonians 4. We're reminded as your children, there's coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more tears to dim the eye. No more clouds in the sky. We look forward to that day. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray for those in this service today who do not know you as their personal Savior, who do not know you, Lord. In their hopeless condition, I pray that right now you'll convict them. And that, Lord, you'd give them a willing heart to come to you for salvation. Lord, move freely among us today. Everyone in this service who does not know you, I pray that today will be the day they call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray.